Well, they often, but,
Just going to their head. Welcome, name for the record, and Ren, what do you think?
I'm Michael Cox, I'm Assistant Director of Elections for Multnomah County, and I'm also Chairman of the Voter Outreach Committee for the Oregon Association of County Clerks. We are 100% in support of this bill, and Chairman Hill and Senator Clory, I'd like to address what you asked in regards to the computerization. I think all but one county, and maybe the last county now, is all computerized. However, no two of them have the same system, and we're not a centralized system in the Secretary of State's office. And we won't discuss whether we're going to pursue that or whatever. At this time, all the counties do data entry online. However, a couple of the counties also digitize or, in some form, computerize the signature. Multnomah County digitizes it so that it becomes a part of the voter registration record. So therefore, it has to be digitized, so we'd need a hard copy at that time to do that until technology becomes available to do it online from the DMV.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Kennedy.
I tried to get out of the Ways and Means Committee in the last legislative session, the centralized computer, in order to link all of these people up. And one standard, all 36 counties, and one mainframe, and nobody could understand what I was talking about. We still got some counties out there on the east side, we're still doing it with paper. Everything's on paper.
I'm sorry. Okay, Reckless?
Is that true? We have counties out there that are still messing around with paper. They don't have a computer?
That's right.
I believe that the only county that is not presently would be Wheeler County. They only have 842 registered voters. The voter registration system in all the other counties is on a computer, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay, thanks for improving. Report.
But what I hear is the lowest of lowest common denominators. There's no contemplation here of DMV being able to even try to any county to send over at least the parts that they already have captured. We're talking about tearing off a little form, filling out, and starting from ground zero in every county. Is that right?
That is correct.
Well, that is ludicrous.
Mike Greenfield, Deputy Secretary of State. Yes, that's ludicrous.
I'm on board with it.
Well, we can't buy a computer system, though.
At least they can make it available. They could say to every county, if you're able to receive it, if nothing else, we'll give you a tape. But just to pretend like we're back in the Stone Age and we're going to send out, okay, you know, we're going to have all those all your folks recapturing all that stuff that's already captured is crazy.
Okay.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah, Mike, and then we'll have Joan come back up.
Mr. Chair, we're looking for to get a system in place, which obviously at some point we'll want to automate. We have a limited amount to impose this kind of standardization on the county clerks. As I don't recall, at least one member of the committee that we talked with about our own budget about, the Secretary of State's office itself is woefully inadequate in terms of its automation. Clearly, that's where we want to head. The point, however, here is to get as many people as possible registered to vote. Michigan is using this mechanism, and it's registered 88% of its eligible voters. So I would hate to have a technical priority drive our desire or lack of desire to register voters in Oregon.
Okay. Let's have any further questions?
Yes.
Or weapons?
Well, I do.
For these folks?
Well, it could involve these guys. As I understand it right now, Secretary of State does not have a large voter file for the entire state of Oregon.
That's correct.
They do not have.
We need a statute.
And they wouldn't know under this.
The gubernatorial campaigns probably do.
The problem is that
maybe the gubernatorial campaign, one of them could give it to them.
Clerks are creatures of statute who are county officers. Mm-hmm. Many of them elected on a non-home rule. They are statutory counties and are elected officers and have entire statutory authority and are not agents of the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State gets to palaver with these people, but doesn't get to tell them anything.
You know, we consolidated the courts. Deal with a situation like this in the courts, and I think someday somebody's going to make a serious proposal to consolidate these activities, but not this time.
Let me ask Ms. Blank, PMP, or... Probably for about $90,000, there are outside vendors who already have the voter file. I mean, seriously, because I buy, my legislative district is already merged with DMV records, and every registered voter in my district, they already do that stuff. It's already available. So I guess maybe to get over one hurdle, I'm not sure how they're going to get to the point where they're spitting this information out on a new form and it matches. Is this $123,000, does that contemplate doing a match with existing voter files and existing DMV records or not?
That's as people get a license or change their name or address and their license or register a vehicle, they would be captured for voter registration purposes, but not in the DMV files. DMV doesn't maintain files of registered voters.
Right.
It's not within their statutory authority, so those would have to be forwarded either in hard copy or electronically to those people who do have statutory authority, which is the county clerk of the county of residence of the voter.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, what we do now is provide automated exchange of information with the state court administrator's office of our driver license file. Mm-hmm. They then can distribute that for jury lists, is the present application that they have for jury lists in the state court administrator's office. So we have that capability. We do not have that capability currently with Secretary of State's office. Obviously, as we're developing the new computer system for DMV, we are planning for this kind of thing, whether it's for a motor voter or a jury list or whatever. We will have that capability, and people can just get that from us.
Right. I mean, I guess this proposal is kind of Stone Age proposal in a sense. Maybe it's all we can do now, but eventually, at least where I see us, where we should be going, is that the DMV files and the statewide voter file should be merged with the various counties giving their updates, their deletes and adds every time they do one of these mail-in ballots and do those, and they're doing them more frequently now, so the lists are more up to date. And then, when you do print the thing out, you'll have both the license information and registration information, and at that point, the option is changing.
They then could merge what they get through the DMV office registration process, walk in people that register in other ways. Those files then can be merged into a central.
Mr. Chairman,
is that okay?
What we're actually buying with this is, digital math here, for 12.9 cents each, about 13 cents per transaction of registrants. Transactions. It costs you 12.9 cents to add this function. So for 12.9 cents, they're going to spit out this card. The problem we've got is that that card is physically going to go to many counties. A lot of them are in the 20th century. Some are still in the 19th century, where the clerks are going to then, unfortunately, pay people to transfer by hand from one document to another and discard this document. Somebody else is going to scan it, because they can do that in Multnomah County and Lane County, and it's going to go automatically and come back off a computer, and that's going to enter the physical record. So there'll be all kinds of things in between.
There's nothing to prevent
The loop that's missing is the computer and the
That's right. There's nothing to prevent you from electronically sending this information to a particular county election office.
That's right.
If you've got a setup that will do it, you should be able to do it. There's nothing to prevent that. They may want the hard copy, and they can just take that and file it, but they don't have to key it in because it's already in their database. Now, you mentioned that you're working on your computer system, the new computer that we're paying a fortune for in DMV. Are you going to, in your planning for that computer, are you setting it up so that you can not only accommodate the registration and the printing out the names and the address on the forms, but also so you can zip the information to Multnomah County clerk? If that works, if you've got the proper applications programs at both ends?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct. We haven't gotten into the detailed design yet, as you're well aware, but conceptually, that's what we want to do when we are designing that. It could go to Multnomah County, it could go to the Secretary of State's office. We will set up a broad system. At some point, the people that handle the technicalities of that sort of thing are going to have to get together and make sure that that capability can happen.
Why don't we put a section in this bill that directs you to advance that conversation, advance that discussion to the extent reasonable to allow electronic transfer of the information to avoid handwork data entry at the county clerk's end?
Very good, Mr. Chairman.
You have no objection?
No.
I think I like to say it again.
We'll put a new section in the bill that requires DMV and planning and implementing the provisions of, let's see, Chapter 979, Oregon Laws 1989, that's a motor vehicle, or that's a motor voter chapter, that in implementing that per this act, you shall take all steps necessary to make possible electronic transfer of the information obtained to county clerks. It may not be possible in a particular case, or it may not be possible in any case at this point, but soon it will be, if it isn't now. And you should take on the responsibility of working to make that possible, save them money, and ultimately save the taxpayers' money.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would only have one comment, and it's nitpicky, in terms of during the implementation, or while we're implementing this bill or carrying out this bill, if in fact this does take effect on or about October 1, we may need to get it up and running in its paper format, and then later pursue electronic transfer of information with a particular county.
Okay.
And so I guess I would suggest carry out as opposed to implement.
And also, we should have a report. You should report back next legislature on implementation of this, and also the manner in which you're transmitting the information, the efficiency of that.
Mr. Chairman, we also plan in our report on our systems development efforts to report on these kinds of things that we know that our mandate is changing and how we plan to incorporate those with our systems development efforts.
It also tells how many voters you've registered.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, they would also make a note to let me know prior to the next session, because I'm going to come back with the state computer system, because it is absolutely nonsensical to have the system we've got now of 36 counties, 36 standards, and some counties, you've got all the information that's required by law. There are lots of counties out there that don't enter it because they just don't think they need that.
Okay.
And you won't find it.
Okay. So I'll make that in the form of a motion to see if that's acceptable. That is, add a Section 3 that says you shall take reasonable steps to make possible electronic transfer by magnetic medium or other similar transfers to the county clerks for ease and efficiency of entry of the data therein. Okay. And then the Section 4 would be report back to legislature on how it's working, the efficiency of it, reports back from the county clerks, the number of people registered, and that kind of information. That would be 1993. Is there an objection to those two sections?
No, actually you bought me back in.
Okay, good.
It's easy.
No, it's a hard, are you kidding? I've been with you guys for 6 months. And an easy one there. Okay, Senator Perez moves $118,885. Now that's
just, they said up to 5,600, but I didn't take the six. If you want, I'll take the six.
Before I accept the motion, I'd like to ask Mr. Higgins, if he's looked at this and what he feels about the numbers that were being presented here.
Mr. Chairman, based on the number of licenses and transactions and things trying to process and the estimate of about 15 seconds on every one that does not register and about 30 seconds on every one that does, that seems reasonable. They are adding an aggregate total of two new counterpersons to handle that workload. It sounds like it's going to cost them at least that much. If they told me that they'd take off 5,000 or 5,600, though, I'd take the 5,600.
Okay, but I'd move
118,285.
Yeah, it takes the full 5,600 first.
Okay. Okay. and that would give us motor voters from October until the end of the biennium.
Well, I think we've made some progress. Let me...
We're being arrested.
Oh.
We've got a lot more to go, or you want...
Well, I'm ready to, so I just want to say that I think what really should happen is that when a non-registered voter is at the window, they ought to take another few seconds and just finish out the form. And, you know, they're gonna, they'd come back, knowing DMV, they'd come back with $10 zillion to do that. But the fact is, that's what we ought to have them do. You know, you already an RDI, one code, hit it. Couple of these other things, you know, they'd have it done in a few seconds, then we gotta worry about the signature. The other possibility, and I forgive you for you thinking of some innovation, but if we were to have a terminal, a kiosk-type, U-Bank-type terminal in every DMV office, then we could say, go over there and fill it out yourself. You know, I mean, we're not talking space-age stuff here, you know, we're just talking basic old...
Talking next by...
And we ought to not to be. I mean, that kind of stuff ought to be done in 2 weeks.
Amen.
Is there objection to $118,285 filled in the blank on line 8? Anything unsorted? FTEs, you guys can get it, can't you? Or do you, are those limited duration? What's the situation there? They're on go. Okay, we'll deal with that later. Anybody objection?
Are they gonna eat the FTE?
You're gonna eat the FTE? What about the FTE?
No, they move the FTE.
You need the FTE?
How many we got in there?
1.76.
How about one?
About one?
We don't think they'll do it.
This is statewide, for goodness sakes. How about 1.25?
1.25.
1.25, limited duration, may not work.
Aye.
Limited duration, okay?
Aye.
Objection? Aye, nobody's against it, pass it, it's out of here. Okay. We'll recess for a bit till they come back.
What is one here? How many people do you have?
Gil, you might wanna come up, just answer questions if necessary. This bill came with some additional amendments from the Senate, which is why it came back before our subcommittee. So it's for approval, the bill is amended by the Senate. And passing on to the Senate floor.
Great.
Can you briefly state, when you gentlemen, briefly state the effect of the amendments?
Okay, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Gil Bowen, Administrator of the Oregon Traffic Safety Commission. The Senate Transportation Committee was interested in making sure that some of the functions were consolidated, such as fiscal work and that kind of thing. And that was the purpose of those amendments. Roland Casada's here from ODOT to specifically explain the amendments.
Okay, Roland, what do they do?
Well, John, basically the amendments do two things. Respond Roland Casada with the Oregon Transportation Department Financial Services Section. The first item, the first amendment would make appointment of officers in support of this new division being created, make it from Shell to May, so it's more of a discretionary term as far as appointing new officers or positions within the division. The committee felt at that time it made that more open, more discretionary, more capable, susceptible to consolidation and coordination among the bad division and the entire department. And also the committee added a sentence that says, the agency shall, as much as possible, consolidate the staff and coordinate the activities of the division with other staff and activities of the department. The committee wanted to be very explicit about that. That should be one of our key goals, one of our key efforts to focus on identifying savings and FTE reductions wherever possible. So they wanted to make that explicit. And lastly, they required that the department and this division report to the legislature or an interim committee in January of 1992. They wanted to set the date for that report. In our plan, we had it ranging from January to March of 1992. They wanted to make it, move it up as tight as possible, make it very explicit that our agency was required to file that report with the interim committee.
Okay, Mike, can I ask you if there's any fiscal impact from this?
Mr. Chairman, no fiscal impact.
Okay. Then I guess I'd move... Okay, Senator Kennas moves the bill as amended by the Senate to the full committee with due pass recommendation for referral to the House.
Just to the Senate. Chairman, a real technical, we are moving this bill as in grows, because we were handed these amendments which are wrong. I mean, the line references are wrong.
Well, they are amendments to the previous bill.
Chairman, I supplied those to you so you would see what the Senate committee did to create the B and grows version from the A.
Okay, is there objection to moving the bill? Consolidation makes sense to me. Encouraging that makes sense. No objection? Okay, I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2297, our last bill. See, we have a couple of industry representatives, is that from the Auto Body Craftspersons Association? You gotta change that name, Craftspersons Association.
Mr. Craftspersons?
Yes, sir, and Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen Association slash Persons Association, and the executive director's here, and she's a craftsperson, Janet Cheney. It's one of her goals, is to change the name. I'm here to talk to you today about House Bill 2297, and I would like simply to give you an overview, if I may, Mr. Chairman, of the bill, and let you know exactly what it does. House Bill 2297 is a bill that we have been working on during the interim and obviously during the session. It's a consumer safety, consumer protection bill. And what the Oregon Auto Body Craftsmen Association has found over the years, most recently concentrated in the last 2 years, is a number of autos or vehicles that have come into their shops have been vehicles that have been at one time totaled and then rebuilt. And the consumer has been unaware that the status of the vehicle when he or she purchased the vehicle and has now come into the shop to complain about a certain part of the vehicle or not functioning correctly, or has come into the shop because they were just recently in a fender bender and needed repairs on the vehicle. In working with the vehicle, the auto body craftsman person has found that the vehicle in most cases is in badly need of repair because of the reconstruction job that was done prior to the sale of the vehicle to the current owner of the vehicle. And in many cases, the reconstruction, the job to rebuild the reconstruction portion of that vehicle would cost as much as or exceed the value of the vehicle. And the consumer is basically stuck with a car that he or she in the first place didn't know was wrecked and now understands that it is wrecked. Simply put, what this bill does is take the word totaled after a vehicle has been totaled and allows the Department of Motor Vehicles to brand the title and the registration of the vehicle using the word totaled, so that the vehicle, when it is sold and when the consumer is looking at the vehicle, can see by the title and or registration that it at one time was wrecked and it has been reconstructed and rebuilt. And it's kind of a buyer beware signal and will help he or she know that further inspection or further investigation of the vehicle needs to be done.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kennas.
I guess there's nothing to mention. Chip out these totals, put them in the boxcar, and send them off to the steel mill, but saving that. A question on, as I understand their hand engrossed, and looking at the numbers through a hand engrossed version, it says, is that the insurer takes possession of or title to? Shouldn't that be the insurer takes possession of and title to?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to defer that question to John Powell, who was representing the insurance industry. I don't know if he's in the room now or not.
John?
You can take
possession of the total vehicle, but if somebody else has title to it, how do you get the title notated?
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Dan. John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Powell, representing State Farm Insurance Company, the North Pacific Insurance Company. Mr. Chairman, Senator Kennas, this is the language that we have worked with and about, because it is difficult to grab a hold of all of the situations where this law might apply.
Now, you're referring to the hand engrossed bill?
Hand engrossed and the proposed amendments that have been drafted by Legislative Council that Mr. Elkins has provided you with. I think your question, Senator Kearns, is you might take possession of a vehicle but not have the title.
Right.
Is that it? That may well be a problem, and I don't know of a situation. I would guess there is a process of lost title if you do not have it.
Title without possession.
We might, we do take title.
Titles, we might not have possession of it. That's okay, because it's physically present someplace else, and it's been determined as title, and you don't have physical possession of it. That I'm not worried about. It may be in some yard someplace behind some rebuilder's shop. If you've got the title, that's okay, because the title's going to get noted with the reconstructor, or whatever the words and terms of art are. The problem is that you take possession of the, you actually end up with possession of the vehicle, but you don't have the title for it, somebody else has got it. How do we make sure that old title is now dead and the new one is issued, noting that it has been totaled? I'm sorry if I've gone and mousetrapped you with something that you
have. No, it's a good question, and do you have an answer from DMV perspective?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, for the record, Joanne Peterson with the Motor Vehicles Division. If the title is lost, I mean, if the question concerns the disposition of the actual title certificate, the insurance company would follow much the same process that they would do, any other person would do if the title is lost. They wouldn't actually have to get a replacement title, but they would surrender to the division an application that contains a certification that it has been lost and releases from the owners of record. So, and that does go on our records, and that does prevent a subsequent title from being issued.
Now, is that then, so if the original comes in, somebody still got it, and they're going to try and transfer that, your records would show that as having been defunct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kearns, that's correct.
Okay, so we backstop it there. Then I get a new title that says reconstructed, proves the total reconstructed vehicle.
Correct.
All right, that works.
Can we look at Section 4 of the bill? And I'd like to understand that a little bit better. A person other than insurers, you're talking about just the average citizen, right? Commits an offense. The offense of failure to follow procedures for a total vehicle. A person is a registered owner of a vehicle, but his total vehicle is defined in Section 2, Sub 1 or 2, and I think that would be 2 Sub 1. We'd need to change that. And does not surrender the certificate of title for the vehicle either to the division or to the insurer within 30 days of the declaration or other relevant act by the insurer. So if somebody hangs on to their total vehicle for sentimental reasons, they could be in violation. What if the insurer doesn't want the vehicle? Does says, here's your cash, you know, haul it away yourself. I don't want it.
Mr. Chairman, as I understand the intent of the bill and as it would work through our process, the person is still required to surrender the title. If he keeps it, he could apply for a title that gets the brand on it.
I see, he can keep the vehicle.
But he is required to notify DMV, so we get that vehicle into the process and get it marked.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. So that person is supposed to refile for a new title at some point when the vehicle is restored. Say it's my 1957 Studebaker, and I'm knocking it. I mean, it got clobbered. It's not. It's valued at $2,500, and repairs would be well beyond that. But I'm not going to give it up. Someday I'm going to rebuild that after I retire, so I keep it. I would still have to turn my title in, but I can keep the car.
That's correct.
And then when I finally get around to retiring and restoring that Studebaker, I could obtain a new title.
That's correct.
That's the intent, is not to force me to take that Studebaker, which I love with all my heart, and take it to the junkyard.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, follow that up.
Well, using the scenario that you just presented, that sounds like then you could have an untitled car for a number of years in your scenario. And I guess I'm wondering whether we really want that. If you just take this, I got another scenario I want to pose in a minute, but if you just take that one where...
Okay, it's this right here.
Let me just say, totaled is to some extent a negotiated term. I mean, we're sitting here talking, thinking totaled means, you know, flat out, you know, nothing left of the car and it's going to reappear somewhere, you know, but that isn't true. Totaled can mean that it, you may not even hardly be able to see the damage, but somebody, two parties agreed to total, the insurance company and someone else, and I would submit to you that there are cars around that may be officially totaled that aren't that bad. So I think our image may be a little extreme. But the fact is, if you use this scenario, that he chose to keep it, and what I heard the response was that there would be no title until such time it was fully restored, whatever that means, which is an interesting question itself, what does that mean? But then, what I heard the chairman say is, then I could apply back for my title. So there's a possibility of having an untitled car for years and years and years sitting somewhere, which seems like it poses all kinds of problems, because then, what happens if the police come out and says, whose car is that? And he says, it's mine. Show me the title. Well, I don't have a title. I mean, I guess the question is...
I have a real-life example.
Okay.
I do have one of these little vehicles. It's not a student.